What's up? It's your host, Tori, and who is ready to be petty? Welcome back to another episode of RTBB. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm very excited for today's episode because I'm loving all the topics. So today we're going to talk about Vanessa Hudgens' pregnancy announcement. We're going to talk about the Queer Eye falling out, Kylie Spritzer Bram, some relationship updates from some of your favorite celebrities, the Idea of You trailer, Ariana Grande's new music, and then I'm going to nominate a Pettyweight Champion of the Week and share my This Week in Petty. So, it is Oscars Sunday. I'm recording this as the red carpet is happening, so I hope nothing crazy happens, but I don't think we're going to beat the Vanessa Hudgens pregnancy reveal. So many people slid into my DMs. You know I am a big fan of Miss Vanessa Hudgens. I loved her in High School Musical. I loved her doing coke at Coachella. I loved her in The Princess Switch. Like, I'm a stan. She's been doing a lot of red carpets. Like, she did the Met Gala, and she's been doing, you know, different award shows, which is sometimes a little bit weird to me because I'm like, you're an A-list celeb. I guess it's nice when celebs interview other celebs, but like, I saw Laverne Cox and then Vanessa doing interviews, and I'm like, is that embarrassing for you? Because like, I imagine these two women like on the red carpet as the guests, not as the interviewers. So I don't know. Let me know what you think. If you think, I guess it's like, why would Vanessa Hudgens be at the Oscars if she wasn't interviewing people? But I'm like, you are like, I would say A-list recognition, maybe not A-list like movies, but anyways. And a lot of people have been actually talking about her on the red carpet this year in particular, because we know Austin Butler is going to be there. And of course, they dated for like, I think nearly 10 years. She like, I feel like, helped him get the Elvis role. And then they broke up. He dropped her like a hot potato. And then he called her a friend on, I think it was Regis and Kelly or what, Ryan and Kelly at the time. I don't know. And he was like, yeah, a friend like helped me like land this role or whatever. So a lot of people have been talking about how they may interact on the red carpet, and there is no better, I feel like, thing you can do when interacting with an ex, but being in like a way different life stage, like a way better life stage than they are. Sorry, I am petty. And for her to show up pregnant, like this big reveal, looking stunning, was just so perfect. In more Vanessa Hudgens news, I'm really wondering what happened with her and Ashley Tisdale, because Ashley was on Watch What Happens Live. This is another interesting thing. So she was on Watch What Happens, and Lala Kent was the other guest, and Lala was sitting closest to Andy. And you just think, like, in what fucked up world is Lala Kent getting the, like, better billing than Ashley Tisdale? And I guess it's like, it is a Bravo show, so the Bravo star might get the better billing, but like, Jesus Christ. But people have noticed that they haven't been interacting on socials or hanging out or anything like that. And Andy asked Ashley about it, and she said that they're just really busy, but was like talky about it. And I think it's because they maybe had a falling out, but I'd be really sad about that. So I want to know what happened. Okay, mazel to Vanessa and Mr. Hudgens. Okay, let's talk about Queer Eye. So I've covered this story extensively because I think I just have, not that I even watched past like season two of Queer Eye, but like, I think that because it came out when RTBP was first starting, and I would talk about how I want the Queer Eye boys to come Queer Eye my life, I just have like a nostalgia for that show. Even though, again, I haven't watched it probably since season two. I truly didn't even know they were on season 8 or that it was coming out. But I covered earlier this year that In November 2023, Bobby Burke announced that he was leaving the show, and people had speculated that he had a falling out with Tan France because of their lack of social media interactions. Even though both of them kind of denied that that was happening, Bobby in one interview said they are like siblings and siblings like fight sometimes, but really gave no indication that anything suspicious was going on. But in February 2024, so just this past month, we found out that Jeremiah Brent was replacing Bobby Burke on the show, which is, in like terms of business, is a smart move. Jeremiah is married to absolute interior design Nate Burkus, who is has been his husband for 10 years, and they have their own like TV shows about interior design. So bringing in a brand like Jeremiah and Nate, at like their audience and their like known aesthetic and just like their social capital, is super, super smart. I think because the show is dying out a little bit, to breathe new life into it, I think that this was a smart choice, like maybe a safe choice, but like a smart choice versus going with a rando. But the interesting thing is that Tan and Anthony are really good friends with Jeremiah. And we had heard, especially in this new Rolling Stone article, which I'm going to talk about in just a second, that Tan and Anthony were kind of being mean girls. And they were using tactics to basically get Bobby fired. And Bobby's language while leaving the show has always been like, I'm leaving, I'm exiting, I'm not fired or anything like that. And so people were like, okay, this is sus that like they kind of maybe seemingly got their way. And then just this week, Tan makes an Instagram video and is like, hey, I just wanted to address what I'm seeing on social media, which is interesting because he doesn't mention the Rolling Stone article. Not that like, what would he even really say about that? But he's like, I did not get my friend hired. Like Netflix did a rigorous hiring process and he just was the best fit, which in some cases, that's probably true, but in other cases, it's probably not at all. And then he says, my former colleague who was fired. And framing it like that is just so sussy because we know that that's not what happened. Bobby was not fired. He left on his own volition. Maybe he was bullied out. I don't know. I have no idea. So this story is kind of unfolding this week, and I'm excited to hear more of the drama. So while this was all happening, there was also a huge Rolling Stone expose come out about Jonathan Van Ness, who is being accused of being emotionally abusive and a monster to work with, which is fucking wild because he is definitely the breakout star. And like, this is very much reminding me of Ellen and Lea Michele, who were, you know, number one on the call sheet, the most successful, the reason people are tuning in. Like, they were literally, I feel like, one of the only reasons I tuned into that show was because I loved their energy and I loved how hot Anthony was. I loved Anthony and his, like, dumb guacamole recipes, okay? Like, fucking sue me. But yeah, I think that this is a very interesting article to come out. And we haven't heard anything from JVN or any of his colleagues. But it's kind of like the Lizzo stuff too, where it's like Lizzo, Ellen, and Lea Michele were just touted as like these, maybe not Lea Michele, but like kind soul, like kindness was their brand. More, I guess, Ellen and Lizzo and JVN, but it's like kindness, inclusivity, love and light and stuff like that were their brand. So for this stuff to come out about these types of people, it's just, you fall so much harder. So basically in the article, LOL, I couldn't even read it. I had to like read recaps because I was like, you know, at my 3 Rolling Stone articles per month or whatever. So this is a quick summary, but basically they were saying that they lash out at production, they're demeaning emotionally abusive and have rage issues and were just like awful to work with. I don't know if this is true. Obviously, I want to like honor people that are like coming forward. There's obviously power dynamics there. I think there's power dynamics in them being the star, but also that he is like, again, number one in the group, I would say. The number one, not the number one guy in the group, but the number one person in the group. And we have heard from heroes, which are the people that they are doing the makeovers for. And we hear that he's great and that he's just as nice as he was on and off camera. But then we're hearing from these production members saying that they're awful to work with. So let's wait to see what happens. But this is really, really sad if this is true. Just because, you know, you want to see people succeed. I think JVN has brought a lot of great conversations with their podcast, getting curious to like the mainstream media. And yeah, it just kind of sucks to see, you know, one of your faves turn out to be not like they are being billed. One thing that I want to mention before we move on is that I really think that these five cast members saw Queer Eye not as a long-term career, but as a jumping off point, which isn't the worst thing in the world. Like, I do think that like that would be normal. Like, I could say that about, you know, jobs I've had in the past. So it's like, who am I to say why that's bad? And you should always, you know, aim for the stars. But you could tell, I feel like, even from the jump start, that they were all vying for screen time. And I think that they almost immediately started to do like solo individual projects. Like, Anthony opened his restaurant in New York in 2020, which I think is now like closed. I don't think it did well, which could have been due to COVID, but I also just think it had like bad reviews. Tan did Next in Fashion, which with Gigi Hadid, which I think that they thought was going to be, just say, was it Gigi Hadid or Alexa Chung? One of those girlies. But like, I think they thought that was going to be like a fucking smash success, like the next America's Next Top Model or Project Runway. But like, didn't come back after two seasons. Karamo like kind of took over for Maury, and then like that also ended. And so it's just like none of their projects have really succeeded, which I think would make a very competitive environment, especially because I know that they all have very specialized specialties, but they are all kind of under the lifestyle like umbrella. Like, I know one's food, one's fashion, one's hair and like skincare, and one's about your personal journey and stuff like that. But it's like that all, I think, when you think of like influencers and stuff, is kind of under the same umbrella. And I really think actually that Jonathan was kind of, again, it just shows you like kind of the most successful. Like, his podcast, which was running before Queer Eye, but like is still, I think, a extremely popular podcast. And then like it turned into a show at one point. And then JVN also has their hair care products. So like, I don't know, I just feel like they were kind of the most successful, and maybe the other guys were jealous. I don't know, but something is happening here. And I think we'll hear more about it in the coming weeks, or at least I hope so. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Kylie Jenner's Spritzer Bram. So Kylie Jenner this week launched a canned vodka soda line made with premium vodka, sparkling water, and fruit juice called Sprinter. And it is available in four flavors: black cherry, peach, grapefruit, and lime, which it's just like groundbreaking. Florals in spring, groundbreaking. A black cherry vodka soda? A lime vodka soda? Groundbreaking. So it's like, okay, this is a cash grab. Like, let's call a spade a spade. And it is so uninspired. Like, I actually don't think I could create a product so uninspired for Miss Kylie Jenner. First off, she has dabbled in partying for sure, especially in like her single era, but she's like not a partier. Again, she's dabbled in drinking. We've seen the videos like, I'm gonna get wasted. I'm gonna drink this glass of 42. Courtney, what the fuck are you doing or whatever? Like, we have seen moments, but like, I don't associate her with vodka sodas at all. I associate her with like lip kits and with her beauty line and with like fashion-y stuff. Like, I don't really see this as her brand. Like, this makes sense for a Kyle Cook. This does not make sense for a Kylie Jenner. But I feel like alcoholic sodas, vodka sodas, are like the beauty line in the celebrity world. Like, it's just like, what can I do that no one could really like rip apart that could sell with or without my name and takes about a year to get out, like up and running? It's a line of vodka sodas. I don't get the name Sprinter. I'm assuming it's because like I think of the Sprinter van or like Sprinter runner. And then, like, I guess it's kind of like the word spritzer, but, like, it doesn't even fall under the, like, the Kylie Cosmetics, the Kylie Lip Kit type thing. Like, could we have not come up with, like, a Kylie-related nomenclature? Sprinter will be sold in an 8-can variety pack for $19.99 USD, which also seems a little pricey. Like, I feel like an eight pack, like, I don't know, maybe it's like $15 usually in the US. Don't quote me on that because I am Canadian. And it's gonna hit stores March 21st. The chief of like product of this brand is Chandra Richter, who I looked up her LinkedIn. I literally, you guys, for you, signed into my LinkedIn account so I could view her whole profile. And she's worked in the food and bev industry for like 20 plus years. She seems super experienced with the alcohol business, wineries, etc. She worked at Kodiak Cakes. So like very big, innovative brands. And she said that she started this job on her LinkedIn in February of 2023. So again, this is basically a year in the making. I don't know. It's just so, like, the cans are uninspired. The flavors, like, why isn't she even trying to do like, okay, if she wants to go into the alcohol business, like Kendall with her 818 tequila, why doesn't she do like the canned mocktails, but make them like the green juice drinks? Like, I feel like there's been a moment, or maybe it always has been in like California or whatever, where it was like, here's a mocktail, but it's made like the base is like green juice or like acai or whatever the fuck. So it like mixes wellness with like a mocktail. I don't know. I feel like that would fit her better. Or maybe she just did like a capsule collection with 818, like a canned tequila soda. And it was named something like with Kylie and Kendall. I don't know. It just, I feel like I'm doing the fucking labor for you, girl. Like, I feel like I'm having the conversations your team should be having. I don't know. This is just something that I really feel like someone came up to her and was like, hey, we have a idea for a vodka soda line. Want to slap your name on it or like want to be the ambassador? And she was like, sure, I've got nothing else going on. So I don't know. So fucking annoying. I'm so over this. Like, I do love when brands come out with things that seem like it fits. Like, I feel like Rode makes sense for Hailey Bieber. And I've heard really good things about the products. Rare same thing with Selena's message that she's had for like 15 years about being like beautiful despite what anyone thinks or whatever. Even Kai with her fucking like leather capsule and her off the shoulder like tight I don't know tops that she just released, that makes sense. Even the tequila for Kendall in the way that she is a culture vulture. Like, from that sense, it kind of made sense that she would do something like that, that she would want to be not like other girls and do something like that. But, like, I don't know. This just does not make sense to me at all. The lip kits made sense, sure. But, like, I don't know. This has to be, I feel like, one of the biggest flops I've ever seen. This just seems so cash grabby. It's like they're not even trying to hide it anymore. Skims, like shapewear by Kim Kardashian, that makes sense. This just truly makes no sense. Like, I would have even like preferred like a fucking perfume or something, which actually I think she'd launched one of those recently. Like, I don't know. It really, really doesn't make sense. But I guess you gotta make money when the getting's good. Okay, let's move on. Okay, we're gonna blast through some celebrity relationships and give a little update on what's been happening. So let's talk about Joe Jonas and Stormy Bree. They have been dating, it seems like, since the fall, but I haven't covered it on the podcast yet. If you don't know who Stormy Bree is, she is an actress, but like kind of seems just like a socialite, to be honest. She was a pageant girl in Tennessee, and then she was on American Idol for one episode. She like tried to kind of have a music career. She's acted in some stuff, but generally I think is a socialite. She was previously with Lucky Blue Smith, who obviously he's been a model. He's been, like, he was fucking the Tumblr aesthetic of like 2010 or whatever. He also is kind of, I feel like, on a comeback journey, but he is married to Nara Pellman, I think it is. Sorry, I didn't write that down. But she goes by Nara Smith now. And they've been on TikTok. They've been, like, kind of killing it on TikTok, but, like, for all the wrong reasons, for, like, more controversial stuff, trad wife adjacent stuff. And they have a kid. They have two kids, Rumble Honey Smith and Slim Easy Smith. And those are Lucky's second and third kid, because he does have a kid with Stormy Bree. Sorry, I feel like I'm saying this in such a convoluted way. They have Gravity Blue Smith. So Stormy does have a six-year-old, which I think is good for Joe, because and they're a year apart. He's 34 and she's 33. And I think that this is actually really good for him, because he obviously has two kids with Sophie. I have the ick from Joe Jonas. It's so crazy because I've always loved the Jonas Brothers, their music, their movies, their TV show, all of that stuff. And I was always a Nick girl. I was a Niley girl, all of that. But in recent years, I was like, you know what? Joe is looking good. Good AF. Like, I don't know any other way to say it. And so I was like, am I like a Joe girl secretly? And I was like, yeah, I kind of am. And then all of the Sophie Turner, Joe Jonas stuff happened. And then him just being like absolutely blotto. I was going to say blacked out and blotto at the same time. But absolutely like blotto at the Jonas Brothers tour, which is like, it's like annoying, but it's kind of more concerning than annoying at this point. I don't know if you've seen the TikToks, but he's like missed some of his cues and he's like kind of dancing weird and just like all over the stage in a weird way. And I just really got the ick from him recently. But on January 3rd, he took a private jet to Cabo San Lucas with Stormy. And then they went to Aspen, that was reported by Dumois, with Priyanka and Nick. And Priyanka posted a picture of the four of them cheersing some champagne, but then she immediately deleted it. But we got pics this week, February 29th, of Joe and Stormy living it up in Australia, where Joe is currently on tour. So I kind of do like this relationship. They also, I feel like, both have like a very religious background. I feel like that could be like compatibility wise, like ick, but like compatibility wise good. And the kid thing and the age thing and stuff like that. So kind of here for it, even though, again, know nothing about this bitch and I hate Joe Jonas, but like whatever. I think it works. Okay, let's move on to Barry and Sabrina. So Barry Cogan went to Sabrina's last shows. So she has been the opening act for the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. Have you ever heard of it? And Singapore was her last shows. And so he came to watch her and he was, you know, taking videos of her, laughing, singing, like being all cute, very Travis coded, less like confident and dancey, but like still there. They did the kiss, like where she runs off stage and like jumps into his arms like Taylor and Travis have been doing. Very cute. And he went to a pre-Oscars event this week and he wore a friendship bracelet with her name on it. So like that, I feel like that's it's like a hard launch. Like obviously they were soft launched already, but like this is definitive. So congrats to Barry and Sabrina. I like them. I don't know. I'm jealous. But I know a lot of people also don't like them together. I don't know why though. Weigh in. Let me know. Do you like this couple or do you think they aren't a good fit? So next, we've got Natalie Portman and Benjamin Millepied. They have finalized their divorce. There was rumors for months that they were getting a divorce last year because he allegedly cheated and they separated. But everything kind of wrapped up this week. Who should she date next? I really don't have any other updates other than this. But like, I'm just curious. She's 42. I would love to see her. I was thinking like of a Theo James or something, but he has a wife. But like, I'm just curious what you think, who you think she should date next. And speaking of divorces, Brittany and Jax from Vanderpump Rules, there have been rumors that they had split a few weeks ago and everyone's like, no, no, no. This is just promo for their show, The Valley, which airs, I think, in a few weeks. So I feel like a lot of us didn't really take it too seriously. We got all these paparazzi interviews, but like it looked kind of like they were like feeding her answers and very staged by the couple. I even was listening to Jax on the Spidey podcast, Spidey's 16th Minute. And he was saying like how he was very excited for The Valley, very excited to be back on TV. And he was saying like, I wouldn't do the same style of show as Vanderpump. It had to be something different because there's no way that I would jeopardize my family, my relationship with my son. And so there was a split second where I believed him, and that's on me. There is 11 years of evidence pointing to the direction that he hadn't changed or will never change. And I listened to that one interview and I said, maybe he's changed. And that is on me. Because allegedly it is true that they are, you know, Splitsville. She was seen moving into her own place, but they own two places and she films like her ads there. So that is still a little bit murky. But then she moved Couchy from her Instagram bio. And if you don't know, Jax Taylor's real name is Jason Couchy. And then I heard from some listeners that he was saying that he wasn't attracted to her anymore. I don't know. And that the Bravo production team has picked up cameras again, even though The Valley has finished filming. So I'm just so confused. I think like two things could be true. It's like Bravo could be trying to make another Scandoval happen. They seem to be trying to do that with Lindsay and Carl, and this would be like the perfect, you know, couple to do it. And or he got another taste of fame and like slipped back into his old ways. Maybe he was only loyal to her because he wasn't like a hotshot anymore. And maybe he started to feel like that with, you know, the interviews picking up and the bar business picking up and stuff like that. And maybe he just slipped back into the old Jack. So who knows? Again, only time will tell. So let's wrap up our relationship updates with Kristen Cavallari. Man, oh man, this is so fucking embarrassing, you guys. This is so embarrassing. I think like, okay, like women, you can date younger men. That's totally fine. When there's like a 13-year-old age gap though, and he's like under the age of 25, and 25 is the age that your full brain, your prefrontal cortex has like fully reached maturation or whatever, fully developed. When you're pre that happening, it's a bad look. It's not for me. It's really, really not for me. So basically what happened was they like randomly went official. She posted on Instagram and he posted on TikTok, which again just shows you the fucking generational divide. And I guess like that's like his audience is on TikTok and her audience is on Instagram. But again, that just shows you what we're working with. I don't know what else to say, but he posted the most cringy, like she was cringing in it. I feel like if she was into it, I would have been like, this isn't so embarrassing. But the way that she was visibly like kind of icked out and kind of embarrassed, I was like, this just should, like, I'm like, don't make this dumb TikTok for this dumb kid. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is so embarrassing. Aren't you embarrassed? They are lip syncing to a Kendrick song. She made another TikTok with the whole Montana Boys group singing and like dancing. So if you don't know, Mark Estes is a model. He's a former football player and he is part of the Montana Boys, which is basically like a TikTok house in Nashville. And so he makes, you know, the, you know, dancing videos, the lip syncing videos, etc. Is he hot? Yeah, defo, he is a model. Like, that is clear. But it is so bizarre that they're dating each other. I feel like when you get a divorce after a really long relationship, especially one that doesn't seem fulfilling at all, wanting to go maybe in like the opposite direction. But this isn't the vibe. This isn't the vibe. And a lot of people are like, well, she's a woman. And if this was a man, no one would be talking about it. I'm like, yes, we would be. We talk about the Nick Viles. We talk about the big age gaps and stuff like that. Yes, he's not close. Like, he's not an underage kid. But he's still so young. I don't know. I'm 31 and she's 37 and I'm really icked out by it. Like, I just can't imagine. So, I don't know. It's, again, it's not for me. Love, it's not for me. So, she made another TikTok that she's, like, in her closet and it's something, I think she's lip syncing to something and then the caption is, like, when they're all up in arms that I'm dating a 24-year-old and question mark. And I'm like, it's not the flex that you think it is. It really is not the flex that you think it is. She was wearing an M necklace. I don't know. Then I was like, it like literally is this PR for Uncommon James. Like, she hasn't been in the media lately. You know, the Rewatch Laguna Beach podcast has wrapped up. She doesn't have a show. Maybe she just needed a few headlines, and that's fair. I do think she's very good at marketing. I was like hook, line, and sinker for the Tyler Cameron relationship, even though that was just for a ad campaign. So I was like, is this the same thing, but just like a little bit sneakier? Very well could be. I will say it just is another example though of her confidence. She has the confidence I am striving for. Holy shit. She truly doesn't give a fuck about what other people think. And I've never seen such a clear example or unwavering example of this. It's really quite something to behold. And it really just shows you, I feel like, that, like, self-esteem, I feel like, really is built during the teen years when she was on Laguna. And she just, like, kept it up. Like, could not be me. Anyways, speaking of cougars, let's talk about the idea of you. So, the idea of you is a Harry Styles, like, fanfic book that is being made into a movie. So the book is written by Robin Lee. It was published on June 13th, 2017. And it is it's not classic fanfic because it wasn't posted on like Wattpad or AO3 or anything like that prior. Like it was just published, but it's obviously heavily inspired by One Direction and Harry Styles. So Robin Lee is an actor. She has had many guest spots and she was even in 50 Shades of Grey, which was true fanfic. And she has been friends with Gabrielle Union since the early 2000s. And she is going to be a producer and it's her production company that is making this movie, which is going to be on Amazon Prime. It's funny how it's kind of the second Harry Styles fanfic to come to life because we watched the After series, which is based on Harry Styles, become a success. They had like fucking 900 movies, which I have covered, you know, on this podcast. And then we have The Idea of You. So you can tell that Hayes, which is the Harry of the movie, is Harry. Like he has the tattoos, he has the hair. He's in a 5-person boy band. He's British. And he meets Selene, who is a like an artist, an art curator. And she is recently divorced. She's 40. And I think he's like 20 at the time. And they meet at Coachella, which again is like so fanficky. And you see in the trailer, he dedicates this song Closer to her. And then he finds her, I guess, in like LA or whatever, and is like, I need art for my house or whatever. And then their relationship starts. She has a kid who's a big fan of August Moon, which is the fictional band. So I think that there is going to be some storylines about that. I'll say I haven't read this. I will be reading the book and watching the movie and covering it on my other podcast, Ready to be Romanced. So if you would like a full coverage of this in May when it comes out, subscribe to at Ready to be Romanced. But I'm like living for the trailer, honestly. I don't love this premise of like the divorcee woman who's lost in life and like what does she need to like find herself, a 20-year-old guy. Like we didn't like 20-year-old guys when we were 20. Why would we like them in our mid-30s, early 40s? Like truly unsure. But I am so fucking sold on this movie because the song that they released, We're Gonna Dance Before We Walk, is so One Direction. And they released like it as like a single. There is not a music video, but like the lyric video on YouTube. And I was listening to it last night and I was like, this is, other than Texas Hold'em, this is the song of the summer. It's so fucking fun. And it's like, if we can't get real 1D music, this is truly not a bad like option to have. So this is also interesting. Savan Kotecha, who actually penned some of the 1D music, such as Live While We're Young, is working on this soundtrack for this movie, which is huge. Like working with 1D in 2012, like the height of their career, and then coming to this movie, I feel like we're gonna get more bangers. Like, and again, this like kind of authentic boy band experience. I fucking love when movies like Josie and the Pussycats or even That's So Raven with Boys in Motion, like I fucking love when there's a fictional band or even Riverdale and they like get into it. Like, it's not just like some type of plot that doesn't get the world building and the time. I love when they make it like real and there's merch and there's songs and like all of that. It's so fucking great. I think the other thing that is a lot easier, like, of a pill to swallow. Sorry for jumping around a little bit, but it's an easier pill to swallow, I think, watching this trailer, because Anne, who plays Solen, is 41. Nick Galitzine, who was in Red, White, and Royal Blue, and Bottoms, and a bunch of other stuff, he's, like, killing it. He's 29. So I feel like they're basically 30 and 41 is a lot more normal than 24 and 37 is all I'm saying. I feel like it's an easier pill to swallow. But where's the Larry Stylinson movie? Like, I'm sure there's a million fics that on that topic that we could get a movie for. Yeah, I would die. Anyways, if you want more about this coverage, you can check out Ready to Be Romance. I'll be covering it as soon as it comes out, the book and the movie, and I'm so excited because it seems so fun. I can't wait to look at all of the Harry Styles clues in the book and the movie, because while Robin hasn't explicitly said, yes, it's One Direction and Harry Styles, she said in one interview, she was like, I was watching a concert of a band and I saw this boy in it, or this guy, and his face was so like aesthetically pleasing that I like wrote a book about it. And I was like, you know what, girl, I get it, I fucking get it. Harry Styles's face also does that for me. Okay, let's move on. Ariana Grande has released a new studio album, Eternal Sunshine. It's been 4 years since Positions, which I actually think is wild. I think I didn't really realize that 4 years had passed since her last album that I think didn't do so well, but I kind of also blame that on COVID. I really liked Positions, but I know that it didn't really do well at the, not the box office, but like the reception wasn't killer. But Eternal Sunshine is getting a lot of praise. It is currently the most streamed album of 2024 so far. And, you know, you can have that title, Ariana, till April 19th when Tortured Poets comes out. But it marks a lot of big milestones for her. Or, like, this covers a lot of, you know, big changes in her life since Positions came out. She left Scooter. She broke up with her husband. She landed Wicked, which is a huge fucking film. And I think that's reflected in the music. I don't think for me that there's like a standout song. I am liking The Boy Is Mine. I was very hesitant to like that because the Brandy and Monica version, and like this is like obviously it's so different, but it's like the Brandy and Monica version is one of the best songs of all time. It is so fucking good and perfect that, like, it's like, I don't even want, like, an interpolation of it or whatever. And when she said it's, like, an elevated version of the track Fantasize, which was leaked, and a bad girl's anthem, I was like, I don't think that's doing what you think it's doing, because you literally stole this, you stole this man away from his family, it kind of seems. Even though it's like, no, I think that's a bad way of putting it. He made the decision also to leave, but they got together under weird pretenses. I don't want to put it all on Ariana. That would be, I think, misogynistic. He played a role 50-50 or like 70-30, because it's like he was the one in the relationship. But anyways, I don't think that's like the slam dunk that you think it is, but honestly, it's kind of growing on me. I think with Ariana's music, it's kind of like Justin Bieber's music for me, where it's like, I kind of need to listen to it a bunch, or I need a song to become a single for me to really enjoy it and like hear it in the wild a bunch, because otherwise it just kind of starts sounding a little bit similar, like all the songs. But I like no hate to the album, except for like the album cover. I fucking hate that like 70s porno lighting. But anyways, intro, end of the world seems to be about Dalton and Ethan. I feel like there are some more Easter eggs that people will tease out in the coming weeks. She had to post an Instagram story. She said that people were sending hateful messages to people she loves. And it's like, guys, that's number one rule. If you're a petty Betty, love you to death. And I know we're not weird, so I know we don't do this, but it's like, we're talking about people online for sure, but we're not fucking commenting on their shit or messaging them. That is psycho behavior. And then I feel like she had like a bangarang performance at Saturday Night Live. I love when celebs do the album release Friday, Saturday Night Live Saturday. I think it's just so like classic, traditional, and in a very Taylor Swiftian move. She released a deluxe version, which has the Yes and Mariah Carey version of the song, and then a song with Troy Sivan. So honestly, congrats, Ariana. I'm stoked for you. I'm not totally over kind of like what's happening and your vague messages in the media about it, but I like your music. I do like your music. Okay, let's move on to Pettyweight Champion of the Week. So this is the part of the show where I'm going to nominate a Pettyweight Champion of the Week, someone in the media who did something petty and it was iconic. And there are so many options that I could have picked this week, but I'm going to go with Miriam Margoyles. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong, Miriam. But she played Professor Sprout in Harry Potter, and she was recently on a New Zealand news program. She was getting interviewed, and the interviewer asked her about Harry Potter, because obviously I'm sure that's the role that she's most known for. And, you know, anyone that's in Harry Potter carries that with them because it was such a huge franchise. And she goes, "Harry Potter, I worry about Harry Potter fans because they should be over that by now. It was 25 years ago and it's for children. They get stuck in it. We're having a Harry Potter themed wedding." Oh, so she goes, "People ask me to do cameos for them. And they go, we're having a Harry Potter themed wedding. And I think, gosh, what's their first night of fun going to be? I can't even think about it. No." And this is so fucking iconic. It's different if it's Twilight. Okay. We're nothing if not inconsistent here. It's different if it's Twilight, okay? But Harry Potter, get the fuck over yourselves. It literally, I feel like, is one of the most embarrassing things to be obsessed with Harry Potter in 2024. Sorry if that's you. I'm really, really, truly sorry. But like, I think one of the most scathing things that you could say to anybody, there's like two things I feel like that are like, I would run into traffic. It's, you look like you're a Harry Potter fan, or like you seem like you like Harry Potter. That's one. And two, you look like you could wear transition lenses, or like you wore transition lenses at some point. Like, those are the two things that I would never get over if someone said to me, okay? And she's right. I don't know. She's so iconic for this. Especially because I feel like if this is what you're most known for, it's like a lot of celebs just like grasp onto that one shred of relevancy through that project. And I love that she was like, fucking, it was 25 years ago. Get over it. It's for children. Okay, let's wrap up with This Week in Petty. I feel like this is going to be a long one. And it's because it's a harrowing tale. And it began many, many years ago. So I've probably talked about on this podcast, maybe not though, that I fucking hate birds. I think they're shifty. I think they're up to no good. I think they're government spy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I think they're gross. I think they're mean. I don't like their beaks. I don't like their wings. I don't like their talons or their feet or whatever. Like, I just don't like anything about them. And like, okay, yeah, maybe if it's like a tiny robin or something like that. Or like, I was quite moved when I was staying at Cam's, from what I will say, in Nashville in December. I was quite moved that I think like all three mornings that I was there, a cardinal or like a red a red jay type of bird, like, landed on a branch outside my window every morning. I was personally moved by that. But, like, I don't need to be in the same vicinity as a bird unless there's glass in between me and it. And crows are especially rancid to me. And there's good reason for that. Like, I don't think I'm being, like, overreacting or anything at all. I'm going to run down some crow facts for you, okay? Crows are smart. Crows have big brains. Crows actually have bigger brains in comparison to their body than humans do. And more brain mass usually means that they have, like, more capacity for, like, thought. Which, it's like, you're a bird. You don't need that. Crows have language. They have different language, different ways of, like, cawing at each other to communicate messages. Again, no need for that. You're a bird. And they have enemies. Me being one of them. But I was reading about this article. This was years ago. In 2011, this paper came out. I've read this multiple times because I'll tell you a local story before I get to what actually happened to me this week. But basically, there was a study that showed that crows could recognize people's faces and, like, track and, like, know you, which is fucked, like, absolutely fucked. So a team at the University of Washington tested how well the birds could identify human faces using two Halloween masks. One was a caveman, which was the aggressor, and one was a Dick Cheney mask as the control. And so throughout this campus, there was, like, five sites that they tested this on. A scientist would use the caveman mask and catch and band wild crows. And so the getting trapped, like, the crow getting trapped was their, like, traumatic experience. So the crows started recognizing the caveman mask as, like, an assailant and, like, as a threat. And so other birds, other fucking crows, when they saw the assailant, the caveman mask, even if they weren't trapping birds, they would literally swoop down and harass this person in this mask, which, it's like, you couldn't pay me $1 trillion to do that. This is the sick part. This is the fucking sick part. Years later, the same researchers came back to those five test spots and they wore the same masks. And guess what? Crows, including ones that had never even been captured and banded, so never attacked by this caveman, they came back to the spot and they were dive bombing the caveman. And they were completely ignoring the Dick Cheney character. So you can tell, like, they hold grudges. And they know you. That is fucked. They even noticed that younger crows, I'm really getting into this crow research. I don't know why. I guess it's like know thy enemy. But they even looked at younger crows, like ones that were less than the age, like they weren't born when the initial experiment happened. And they also were attacking the caveman. So obviously other crows taught and passed down this lore and showed them and stuff like that, and, like, passed on this grudge to these other crows. Like, that's insane to me, okay? Here's some other crow facts. They can craft tools or weapons, because why would they need a tool? You're a bird. And they can solve puzzles like human children up to 7 years old. They were tested doing some puzzles with children as the other test group, and they had, like, the same intelligence as the 7-year-old figuring out the puzzles. And they literally, like I just mentioned, they gang up on people. It's not like it was the 10 birds that they captured in this experiment that got mad and retaliated against the researchers. It was groups of them. So it's like they have allies, and I am one single person, okay? Which gets me to this one specific bird named Canuck. And this is famous Canadian lore, but specific to Vancouver. And Canuck was a crow. They're Whereabouts, I think, for the last, like, 2 or 3 years is unknown. I'm assuming maybe that they passed away because I doubt they would just, like, up and leave. But basically, it was, like, a Tarzan type of deal where Canuck was hurt as a baby and then taken in by a family and, like, grew up with, like, people. And when he was young, they red zip tied one of his legs. Nothing like harmful or anything like that, just to identify him. And basically he grew up to like be comfortable around humans. There was one in particular, his name was Sean. And basically Sean and him hung out like every single day. Like Canuck would sit on his shoulder, like walk with him or like fly with him to work, like to the bus stop. And this bird got into so many shenanigans around Vancouver, and it was all documented on social media. And it was really like fun to be a part of that community watching what he was up to. And everyone knew him because of the red zip tie around his foot. So basically he would like steal items from strangers. He was known to drink out of Tim Hortons cups. He would ride the fucking SkyTrain and get off at his location. Like he would get on at another part of town and get off in East Van. Like that's insane. One time he stole a knife from a crime scene. Like someone stabbed another person and there was the knife and he swooped in, stole the knife, and then flew away. Like, that is so fucking iconic. One time he went into a police van, shit, and then left. Which, like, gives me the impression that he's ACAB. So, like, I will give him that. But, like, it is ridiculous, like, what this bird is doing. One time he flew into another police car. He stole one of the key, like, the keyboard keys off of their laptop. He went to the horse races. He would steal people's tickets. One time he got beaten up by somebody. Like, he was basically like a human. Like, it was fucking weird. But because of him and because of other crow attacks, there is a map of Vancouver where you can document your crow attacks. And it will populate online so people like me can avoid those areas. Not that I've really like done this, but like, hearing all this lore, hearing people celebrate this bird, this bird isn't a bird that I would necessarily be, like, scared of, per se, but, like, it's, like, we don't need to be bowing down for these crows, because they are evil. So, basically, fast forward to this week, I am going to an exercise class. I go to this lovely bar studio. Everyone knows I used to be a hot yoga girly, couldn't do the heat anymore, so I moved on to bar. I'm having a lovely time. I try to go, you know, many times a week, and because it's me, I was running late. And this was Saturday morning, so yesterday morning, I was like, okay, I'm going to eat this muffin that I got from my work the day before, in my car. So I just, like, you know, threw on my coat, threw on my shoes, grabbed my bag, grabbed my little Stanley, and the muffin in my hand. And so I'm walking out to my parkade entrance. So I have like underground parking. So I need to walk towards, you know, the entrance of the parkade through my courtyard. I see a crow like fly down and land in front of me on a flower box. And of course it's like, you know, I live in a harbor. So like there's tons of seagulls. I live in like probably one of the most like snow white-y places that you could ever be in. Like, I am frequently parking next to, you know, deer and rabbits and squirrels and seals and whales and octopi and like, so like, I live in a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. So when a bird lands next to you, like, you almost don't think twice because there's so many of them. But I'm a little apprehensive, so I kind of hesitate for a second, and the bird wasn't looking at me, and when I hesitate, he shifts his beady little fucking eyes, looks at me straight on, basically does the, like, two fingers to the eyes thing back and forth to the other person, moves his head in a way that sent chills down my fucking spine. I was so creeped out at that moment. I didn't know what to do. I was in fight or flight, basically. And I wasn't going to pick fight. We all know that. I was going to pick flight, okay? So I'm like, okay, you hesitated, but now you have to confidently... This was like when raccoons cornered me at my garbage can once. Like, I was like, you just have to be confident and you'll just walk quickly to the exit and all will be fine. And I was like, maybe I'll like hide this muffin behind my back. And I was like, no, it doesn't even want the muffin. How would it even know that I am carrying a muffin? It's a fucking bird. So I take a deep breath and I start walking and the bird he doesn't swoop, but he flies in front of me and lands on a railing, like a staircase railing, in front of me, basically blocking my exit to the parkade. So at this point, I'm like, okay, so the bird does know I have a muffin and it wants it. And I am shitting my pants. I want to say again that this is in a courtyard. So there are tons of windows to tons of apartments where I am currently standing. And I make a snap decision and I throw the muffin as far away as I can. And I run and the bird swoops down on the muffin and picks it up. The muffin was so big, it was probably too big for it to even put it in its mouth and carry it. And so it probably just like ate it there, but I'm too scared to go back that same route to see if there's like crumbs everywhere. Like, I'm embarrassed. It's probably on CCTV cameras. People probably witnessed it through their windows. The bird probably left a fucking mess, including the wrapper. And I'm too embarrassed to go back to the scene of the crime. So I have been using an alternative entrance to my parkade going all the way through the building so I don't have to go this exact route because I know I'm marked. I know that it knows my face by the way that it looked at me dead in the fucking eyes. It was chilling. So that's basically the story, but I did go to another exercise class today again, going through the building to get to my house and to my car. And when I'm driving back into my parkade, the fucking same crow, I'm assuming, lands on the railing above the parkade entrance. And I'm like, fuck, like, it knows me. It knows I live there. How does it know that I just arrived at home? And how am I going to get inside? And I did just like basically sprint from this new entrance that's closer to my door instead of going that same route. But like, my life is forever changed. I don't know what else to say. Okay, friends. I hope you have a crow-free week. This was so, so much fun. Thank you so much for listening to all of my ramblings for today. If you would like more content from me, join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/RTBBpodcast. You get at least 2 bonus episodes a month for 5 buckaroos. I want to shout out patrons Jill and Adriana M this week. Mwah. Thank you so much for being patrons. I appreciate your support so, so much. I hope you've been enjoying what I've been doing over there. I just talked with Cam from What I Will Say about celebs that have quote unquote fake accents, like Austin Butler, Madonna, Taylor Swift in her debut era, Ilaria Baldwin. It was super, super fun. We were laughing it up, chopping it up. It was very fun. So check it out. Patreon.com/RTBBpodcast for $5 a month. You get access to over 73, I think at this point, episodes from me and friends of the pod. And there'll be a lot more good stuff coming. Over on Ready to Be Romanced, my other podcast, this week I'm covering Love Theoretically by Allie Hazelwood. Super fun book, super fun guest. One of my friends, Melody, making her first RTBP universe appearances. It was very, very fun to talk to her. So you can check that out at Ready to Be Romanced. And finally, if you want to catch up with me on social media, you can follow me at RTBP Podcast. You could also leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I wouldn't hate that. Okay, I hope you are safe and healthy out there. As always, I'm your host, Tori, and I'm ready to be petty. See you soon. Bye.